after Iman, belief, the most important thing is Amal, deeds. So after belief, after Iman, the most important thing is Amal. In the Quran Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly explained this point, that when Allah ta'ala mentions Iman, Allah ta'ala touches the word Amal. Amal and Iman. You can understand these two things are joint. They're a combination. There's a partnership. Joint. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq, the ni'mah of Iman to somebody, then it's lazim for that individual to step and strive towards Amal, deeds. Now Amal, they confirm that a person has got Iman. Amal, deeds, they confirm that a person has got Iman. And Amal proves Iman. And the more the person does Amal, practices deeds, then you realize and you have the proof that the person has Iman. So what we realize is that Amal are very important along with Iman. For example, how do you get the confirmation in the Hadith Mubarak, blessed Hadith? It is stated that if you see someone going regularly to the masjid, then you can confirm that person has got Iman, because he's got the amal, the deed of salah, that confirms the Iman. In the same way, all of the preparation for the hereafter, it's all based on amal, on deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways has given us different actions, different practices, and through the same amal, an individual gets promotion, progression and advancement, Iman, zahiri wa batini, externally and externally. To this extent, the amal, the deeds, they are the solution and the cause of a person, for the person's forgiveness. Now amal, deeds, good deeds, they attract Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. Through good deeds, a person is inviting Allah's mercy, and Allah Ta'ala with his rahmah, with his mercy, accepts those amal and he gets Jannah as a reward. So if we don't have amal, how will Allah's mercy come? It won't. So we need to do something to get something, isn't it? Everything, yes, is hinging on Allah Ta'ala's mercy. It's not that amal will automatically give us forgiveness. It's Allah's forgiveness that will give us the success. But we have hope that the deeds are the sabab, the means. Allah Ta'ala says, practice the deeds and it's my choice if I accept or not. It's my choice. So our duty, keep on doing your duty. Keep on practicing the amal that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Don't think that, oh, I don't have to do anything and I'll be successful. No. Allah says, I've given you the means, the sabab. So we have to implement the sabab, the means, and hope for Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So this is the first deception. People, waste of time, talk, oh, you don't have to practice, everything's fine. You've got Iman, Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim, Allah will forgive. We all know this. Who doesn't know Allah is Ghafoor Rahim? But it's essential, it is a must, that a person who has Iman has to keep running, doing the deeds. Our life is for one thing, to just do the deeds. Just keep doing deeds. Even if they're weak or broken, keep on doing deeds. If you say, oh, I don't feel enjoyment in my prayer, or I keep getting thoughts in Salah, I get distracted in my prayer, let it happen. Let it happen. But at least you're bowing in front of Allah. At least you're prostrating to Allah, isn't it? At least you're reading something, or you're not reading something. What are you doing? Even if you're not reading, your actions say and prove that you are stood in the obedience to Allah. And your masjid, being in the masjid, tells that. But to leave it, I don't feel like it. I'm not down. I'm down spiritually. I'm weak. Shaitan's whispering in my ears. I don't know what I'm reading. I keep forgetting. No. Leave it to Allah Ta'ala's mercy. There are many people who do a long salah and Allah says, I'm not going to accept their salah. What will they do? And there are many people who pray. It's not that good. But at least a person has sincerity. And he had ikhlas that doesn't matter how my salah is, I'm standing. And he's struggling and striving and making effort, that he's ill. He's got some mental illness or physical illness or bodily illness. Or he's got issues. Despite the issues, he doesn't feel like it. He's being forced to pray. Someone's looking at him and he doesn't feel like it. And he's mentally not up to it. But despite all of these so-called negatives, at least he's bowing and prostrating to Allah. Isn't it? So make this a strong promise to yourself, that I'm never going to leave the amal. That it doesn't matter what I am, we are not going to leave the prayer. The rest is up to Allah, what He accepts, what He doesn't accept, whether He throws it back in our face or here or there. We are going to serve Him, we're going to obey Him, and we are hopeful of Allah's mercy. But if we don't do anything, and we sit bone idle, then obviously Allah's going to be angry with us, unhappy with us, because this is not the right, is it, of Allah? That, oh Allah, have mercy on me. Allah says, okay, I'll be merciful to you, but at least do something. Move. Why did I send you to the world? To eat? To drink? Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Where's that food and drinking and all going out? Where's that now? Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment. The reason I sent you don't have that luggage with you on the Day of Judgment. That village, the town you lived in, and the name was Dunya, the village of the Dunya. Why did you forget me? Allah says, and what have you brought to me now on the Day of Judgment to give to me? Yeah, so this is the situation. And this is what we must do. We have to do it. There's no choice. You understand what I'm saying? Deeds. Amal have to be. So this is clear now, without any doubt, that everyone who has iman has to do amal, practice deeds. May Allah Ta'ala give us success to every person, sister, brother, sisters, women especially. Weak. Oh, my child's crying, and then I don't feel like praying. Oh, it doesn't matter if your child is jumping on top of you, underneath you, running in front of you. Even Rasulullah SAW showed salah. Didn't he play with Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhum, the Sahabas, and he said to let them play and let us carry on with what we're doing. So, alhamdulillah, the Rasulullah showed us the deen from all angles. So this excuse is gone. Oh, my child, he's in front of me, he's behind me, doesn't let me concentrate. Oh, he's passing. Carry on. Do your salah, do your ibadah, finish your salah. Oh, I don't know what I prayed, I forgot, the child put me off, I don't feel like it, I don't feel satisfied. Women, they make these excuses. Oh, I didn't get satisfaction, peace in the heart, what did I read? What point of praying like this? Oh, when my son grows up, daughter grows up, then I'll pray salah, I can't pray now. This is nonsense. This is nonsense. If you die, what will happen then? Doesn't matter whatever situation you're in, pray. Pray. And not just pray, amal, every farad compulsory action, we have to practice every one. There's no excuse. No. Who can say, oh, for example, Hajj? Who does the Hajj? Yeah? Who goes on Hajj and comes back? Who can say that I've done the greatest Hajj and the best Hajj, accepted Hajj? Allah knows if your Hajj was fine and accepted. But it's happened, isn't it? You've gone and you've come back. With the fadl of Allah, you've gone and you've come back. You're going on Umrah. Like our Adam Bhai, mashallah, is going on Umrah. Everyone say, mashallah, and that go on this safar. Then look at that person when he's going on a safar. And don't, when, for example, a person, a pious elder from our Qabreen, such elders, when they used to come back from Umrah, they used to call him, they used to kiss his feet, they used to cry. They used to say, Allah, this person, he walked in Medina, these feet, he was on the dust of Medina, and this is how you should feel. And he went to the Rawda, this brother, and he went to the blessed grave of Rasul. Let me kiss these feet and these legs. This is love. This is not drama. The drama, there are many people who do drama, and this is what we call, the person becomes emotional, he trembles, he shakes, he's crying when he sees the person who's come back from Umrah. He's come from Medina. So the person who goes should also be like this, alhamdulillah. He should feel, where am I standing? Where is this? The Sahaba Ikram used to wander around here. As Aisha Sadiqa used to live here. As Hussein Radhiyallahu used to play here. Abu Huraira used to lie down here. Asave Sufa, this is that raised platform. The great verse of the Quran revealed here, and on this Ashabi Sufa, and I'm prostrating on this place. Think, where am I? So this is the feeling we should have every second on that journey. That's when you'll enjoy it. You should always feel connected, close to Allah. You see the pillar, oh, the tawbah happened here, the Sahabi was mentioned in the Quran, this companion, oh, this story occurred here. Upon this, where am I standing now? Acha, this story, this musalla, this is where Rasulullah came, and he came out of this door, and then he prayed this salah, and this was the way Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was shaheed, and the history explains. It never stops, and then you pray there, Allahu Akbar. They, the blessed Sahaba, noble Sahaba, they did sajda in here where Wali Wala does sajda until Qiyamah, the noor of that place doesn't finish. So where Rasulullah did sajda, imagine the noor of that place till the Day of Judgment. Well, do you think the noor of that place is finished? Even if 10,000 carpets are laid down on top and you can make it modern and up to standard, so called, but the noor will never finish. The true noor of the Sahaba Qadam, their blessed feet, where they trod, where they slept, where they had hunger and poverty. This is where the noor is. And this, all these, you can say, lights and chandeliers and all the things we see around us. Oh yeah, what chandeliers and lights. Look at this extension, this marble and pillars. No. Ask, here, alhamdulillah, was the situation of the Sahaba Ikram. And the Prophet ﷺ, remember an event in the previous days that passed. And there was a Sayyid Zada. And he, mashallah, used to like sitting with me, used to sit with me and talk a lot. And when we spoke, then he used to say good things. And I remember something was somewhere, we're going off track now, but he said Haji Saab is going, Adam Saab. Now I'm talking about Medina and the Haramain. So, mashallah, it was a lot of love. And I said, what do you do? He said, Hazrat, don't ask me what I do. That I start working in the night. I said, what work do you do? He said, just don't ask me what I do. So he was a Sayyid, mashallah, Muttaqi, fear of Allah. And these people come to these great places, Muttaqi. And that's why he sat next to me. He said, I'll come tomorrow in the night, then I'll tell you what I do. I said, okay, fine. So then the next day in the evening, the night, he came. He said, you asked me, what do I do as a job? He said, Hazrat, I do a big job. I'm doing a big job. I said, what? He said that, you know, Rauda Mubarak, underneath the Rauda, he told me they are doing wiring. And all of that we have dug underneath the Rauda. And all the Anwarat and the words he told me, the Noor. He was on the real earth. He said, the same things are lying there. And if I tell you the story now, it'll get a very long story. And he told me the waqiyat, the events, the brother. And he said, I don't save nothing. And he was so happy. And he said, I put my itar on and I put this on fragrance. Then see tomorrow what I do. The next day, he went further down the asal place. And he dug down, he brought the soil to me. Ah, and what was fragrance was in that soil, in the soil, in the dust. So what I'm telling you, the reality is there. And he said, Hazrat, if you see down below that decades and centuries have passed, but it's like just now that Hazrat Fatima Tazura has just passed there, and the lotas are there, and the things are there. He said, there's a well. He told me many things. What can I tell you? He said, Ajeeb, beautiful, unique scene. He said, everything above is different, but below when we dig, it's like a site, archaeological site. And we are searched, and they're giving us restrictions that nobody is allowed to take anything from there, take anything out and take it. And very strict security and searches. And he said, when we work, we're fitting the wiring, you know, all the lights that are going above, all the system, everything is down below. He said, we had to dig a lot deep down. He said, when we went deep down, that's when we saw the real world. He said, I've seen the graves of Sahaba. Which Sahaba's graves? Asal, original. You enjoy this, brothers? Haji Saab, you're going there, mashallah. This is the enjoyment. So when a person goes there, he should stay in this feeling that, where am I? Where have I come to? What for? Oh, no, let's quickly do Umrah. That was a fard that we do. But Haji Saab, you've done Haji, you've gone Umrah, you've been there, you've gone to Rauda, that's it. Oh, quickly go to the Rauda, and that's it, we're free, and then go and eat in the restaurant and relax. Is this what we go there for? Is this the essence? Have you done this? Yes, I've done this. Have you done it? Yeah, I've done that. Oh, okay, I'll quickly let me go and do Hazri and present myself at the Rauda. I don't want the Umrah not to be complete. Is this the way? We're sleeping in the same way, in the same... We should think the Sahaba used to sit like this, sleep like this. They used to do this. They used to walk here. They used to speak like this. The whole history should be in our minds, in our brains. Ours, we should be there, maraqabah. Thinking the awliya Allah, the walis of Allah, and they left the dunya and the great personalities of the world, how they would go and shake and tremble. Hazrat Bayezid Bastami rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, they used to be lost in the essence of Medina, in the essence of the Haramain. I'll go when it's less rush there, I'm waiting, and run there, quickly touch this, that, oh, that's it, I've finished and I've done my Umrah, quickly I've touched the things, I've done the rukun and I've done the tradition, and that's it. This is not how it should be. Person should be relaxed, focused, concentrate, think, where are we, what are we doing, what's the history here? So I was talking about amal, the deeds. So amal, deeds, these are very essential, and we need to practice good deeds. Never be lazy running after good deeds, especially the sisters, the mothers, the women, folk. Be attentive and focused that Allah will accept. In every way, Allah will inshallah accept the deeds. We should never doubt that Allah will accept. Now, there's a point here that the people who don't do amal, they should do them. And the people who are practicing deeds, they need to think as well and reflect every day. It's very important that we have to reflect and analyze, because the whole basis of our success after iman, belief, is on the amal, the deeds we practice. So now, after about the amal, we need to be careful. We need to be very careful. How should we be careful about our deeds? The carefulness that we should demonstrate is that on every amal that I practice, that our true enemy, who are our true enemies too? Who are our enemies? The nafs and the shaitan. Will they leave us? Now I'm praying salah, I'm doing dhikr, I'm remembering Allah, I'm reciting the Quran, I'm practicing deeds. Shaitan and nafs are running after me. They're trying to eliminate. They don't want me to be forgiven. Because their duty is to eliminate our good deeds. They say our duty is to stop you going into paradise. We're not going to leave you. We're not going to let you off. Never. And they know what's the important action for a believer. Iman and amal. And so shaitan and nafs will try to cut that link with Allah. So what does the shaitan do? Shaitan and the nafs, our base desires. We need to think here. They never leave that man, that person. They never leave that person from practicing or having iman. So we're trying to do amal. We don't know our amal, good quality, etc. But we need to think now. Do amal, practice the deeds. Well, after practicing the deeds, what should we think and do? The biggest point I have to think is that this amal that I'm practicing, is this okay? Why? Because there are two things that can be included in my practice, in my deeds. Shaitan and nafs could be mixed. So in my deeds, I'm praying salah, I've done umrah, hajj, zakat, charity, whatever amal I'm doing, nafl, voluntary, etc. Is the nafs and my shaitan, is my nafs and the shaitan mixed and contaminated in my deeds? And nafs, the desires, is a big enemy because it makes a person go towards shirk. Shirk, worshipping other than Allah. And shaitan doesn't do this. The nafs makes a person do shirk. How? Because the person doesn't know. And the nafs, what does the nafs do? He totally makes the person feel strong that your amal is the best. Why are you worried about your amal? You're good Muslim. You're the best. And everyone around you is talking rubbish. You're fine. You're not a sinner. You're the best. You're totally okay and you're going towards paradise. The nafs, I'm not praying in Jamaat, in the masjid. The nafs will say, no, it's okay. You don't have to pray in the masjid. It's all right, you can pray at home. It's your majburi, you're forced. And he says, yeah, I don't have to pray in the mosque because I work hard and I don't. And the nafs says to him, it's all right, you don't have to go to the masjid, pray at home. The same way, take all of your deeds. All of your deeds, the way you have to be done correctly, and nafs will. And people are running to Jumaat. No, it's okay, I'm sat here, I've worked, or I've got something to do. And he's counting his events and his stories. Have you seen? And he's become a mufti himself. And this is common this day and age amongst our Muslimin society. Yeah? Many people, dhakir and their shakir and their peers, so-called peers and sheikhs, and teachers and alims and scholars and muftis, all everyone will be stood on one line on the day of judgment. All of these people will be stood on one line. Nafs is such a fat enemy. That when there will be hisab, Allah Ta'ala hasn't said for no reason in the Quran that the person who's purified his nafs, he has attained Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't say Jannah, direct Allah Ta'ala said he's attained my nearness. So think for a second now. What a great achievement to overcome the nafs. So with regards to following the nafs, what do you think we should do? How do I eliminate my nafs? How do I crush my desires? How do I know if I'm right or wrong? I'm big-headed. Oh, everyone's going millions to the graveyards. They're praying the janazah, then they're leaving. Then we're going to die and get buried. Then we'll stand on the day of judgment. Come here. These amal. Allah will say, this person's a mushrik. Send him into that fire. Mushrik, Allah. Allah, I did hajj. Allah, I used to practice. I did so many amal, so many deeds. Allah will say, okay, let's weigh. Let's, you know, in the laboratory, you put something under the microscope. How much is water? How much is blood? How many vitamins? How many proteins? Dissect. So Allah said, put it into the water. Let's put it under the microscope. And all the nafs and the shaitan will come out. And everything will be flying around. There'll be no salah there. It'll be all nafs and shaitan. What will he say then? When it's under the microscope on the day of judgment. Say, Allah, I thought I was practicing properly. I was worshipping correctly. Allah, I was doing everything. I was working hard. I was sweating. Allah will say, did you ever analyze your deed? That are you right or are you wrong? Allah, how do I analyze my deeds? How do I know if I was right or wrong, if I was practicing correctly? The nafs was dragging the person down. What did the nafs say? He said, look, benefit of the dunya. So nafs is giving you the assistant that you can enjoy yourself in the dunya, and the dunya enjoys of the dunya, and just suppress your ibadah. Listen to what I'm saying, Sufi people. So a person's enjoying, he's in earning the dunya. The world. So nafs is with him. He says, Allah, I didn't know I wasn't an alim. I wasn't a mufti. I wasn't a scholar. I was just a common layman, normal man. Everyone did this. So I just thought I had to do this. And they said to me, just do this. It's fine. So he's giving the answer to Allah. Allah will say, you weren't an alim. You weren't a mufti. No, Allah, I didn't graduate from any learning institution. Allah said, I gave you one tool that everyone had. And I told you, it's easy to understand the Quran. Didn't I say to you? And Quran was revealed for everybody, not just for the alim, the mufti, the scholar. The Quran is for everybody. This is the style, the miracle of the Quran. Whoever reads and opens the Quran with a sincere heart, even the person who doesn't have iman, he will become a Muslim. I've seen with my eyes. With my eyes. So now, we had a person, Yusuf, Yusuf Islam. Why did he become a Muslim? Yusuf Islam. He was a guitarist or he was a musician. He went to Egypt for a concert and he had money, he had glory, he had dunya, he had fame. And in normal hotels, there's a Quran with translation in the room. And it works, doesn't it? Because Quran is Quran, alhamdulillah. He said, let me have a look at this Quran. And he had to look and look how Allah gives hidayah, guidance. So he said, let me have a look. He said, is this the Quran of the Muslims? Oh, I heard about it. He opened. He said, I've got a few minutes. Got to go down. Got to eat some food. Got to go to the club. Play the music instruments. So he opened the Quran. First page, second page. The Allahu Akbar. Allah's kalam started to drag him. Started to drag on him. And then he saw the rhythm. And he thought, because he's a musician, every insan, according to his taste, the Quran gives the reply. So he felt the taste and enjoyment because he used to listen to music and the tarannum and the rhythm and the beautiful melody that went into his heart and his mind, and he was lost, and the rest is his story, how he became a believer. So Quran, Allah's kalam, people if like this can learn, then should we not understand the Quran? Has the Quran not going to come against us on the Day of Judgment? Allah will say, you read the Quran, didn't you understand it? Oh, Allah was in Arabic. Allah said, you got it in Urdu translation, Punjabi translation, Gujarati translation, English translation, every language translation. Allah said, I gave you the translations, why didn't you read it? And you had the internet, press the button and you can see the Quran in all its colors and angles, tilawat and recitation. Why do you talk nonsense? Allah says, did you try? And he will say, Allah, I tell you the truth, I didn't try my best. Allah says, the Quran is here. It's the witness. So if you looked at the Quran, read the Quran, understood the Quran, then you would know that, am I doing this deed? Is this the shaitan's deed or is it the right deed? Do you know, all of you brothers, what is the message of the Quran? So how can we make excuses? Am I practicing right or wrong? That this should we be doing every day. We are so weird that we don't take the guidance from the Quran. We don't even have the time. We haven't even started this action of reading the Quran. This is the biggest deception. No. I've prayed Salah. That's good enough. This is not Islam. Don't just think you've prayed and I'm free now and don't tell me what else to do. Allah says, at least know the meaning of the Quran. Am I on the right bus? No, sit on this bus. It's at the bus stop. We'll take you to London. Have you ever sat on a bus and you've seen that, does it say on the front, Central London, if I'm going Central London? You check, don't you? Oh, the bus is there, you just jump on without reading the number or the sign. I want to go London. This bus ain't going London, it's going the opposite direction. No, I just sat on it, I knew it was going, and it's going Glasgow. Opposite direction. Have you ever heard anyone jump on a bus? Three times a man like me will look at the front, the sign, the number. Where's it going? London? Okay, I'll go. Am I right? Ask the driver. Confirm. Is it going London? Check again the sign. Then third time, on the coach. Is this coach going to London? Then twice, your coach driver say, you did watch, look at the sign twice. Don't you believe it? Very good. Confirm. And this is how we should be. That is my deed correct? Is my amal correct? Sometimes I ask in the Quran, sometimes a mufti, sometimes I'm looking at myself for one salah. Allah will say, Subhanallah, this creation of mine, how he's running after the deeds. Have I ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have we ever done this? I'm proud. My deeds are fine. My prayer's fine. My Quran's fine. My reading's fine. My ibadah's fine. No. Question yourself. My deeds okay? Bow. Humility will be asked for every second. Because we don't value our iman. We don't value the fact that we're Muslims. You know, £5 new notes come out? I swear by Allah that every man who's got the £5 new note, they'll say, oh, nice, no, plastic. They touch it, wipe it, brush it, look from the front. Have you done this? Has anyone got the £5 note? The new one? And the old one? Oh, we'll discard it, throw it away, exchange it. Men, women, oh, new note. Oh, it's good quality. Look at it. And you'll wipe your hands over both surfaces and smell it and think, yeah, the £5 note of the dunya, we wipe it. Look at it. What is it? What's written on it? What about my amal that I did today? Did I pray correctly? Was it accepted? Allah's fazl on me, he's let me pray. Is it right? Am I sahih or am I a mushrik? Is there shirk in my prayer? In my deeds? We don't look at this, do we? Is there shirk? Because Allah Ta'ala said that shirk is the thing to defeat. I've got to eliminate the shirk from my deeds. Totally, I need to cut off the legs from the shirk that's attached to me. Not I prayed a little bit, then kachi or solid or weak, and then I forget the verse. Don't worry, the salah is accepted. The asal thing is shirk, genuine. The Allah Ta'ala says, don't let shirk mix in with your deeds. This is the success if a person eliminates this. So now let's look at the Quran. What does the Quran say? After hearing this today, will we practice this? Inshallah, true promise, proper promise. Will we look at this verse? According to this verse, we'll practice. Put your hands up if you're going to do this. Then I will tell you the verse. Yes, mashallah. So you have to judge yourself according to this verse. You understand, Mawlana? This verse you have to look at and consider yourself and judge yourself. So what does the Quran say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Who is Allah Ta'ala speaking to? Who is Allah addressing? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah says, oh my servants, that you've got iman in your hearts. Now you have to do amal, isn't it? You have to practice. Allah says, you will practice. You will get the reward. And you will get the mazah, the enjoyment of my rahmah, mercy. You're going to paradise. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah says. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasula. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasula. So do one thing, Allah Ta'ala says. Mine and my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do their itaat. Obey. Obey Allah and His Rasul and follow Allah and Rasul. Ula tubtilu a'malakum. Very straightforward verse. That Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't do these two things, if you don't judge your deeds, keep on assessing your deeds, analyzing your deeds, on which point? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Easy peasy, isn't it? Islam. That whether deeds you're doing, small, big, nafal, wajib, compulsory, mustahab, preferable, non-preferable, fard, whatever deed you're doing, if you don't weigh your deeds on the scale of what? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. If you don't measure your deeds, وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَمَلُكُمْ, all your deeds will be a waste. Why? Because shirk will come into your deeds, your nafs and shaitan will come into those deeds. It's a very simple message of Islam. Understand this point? How simple and clear and transparent. Allah said that the obedience to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sunnah, we have to obey that in our deeds. Our amal, my deeds, my prayer, my life, my face, my everything, my appearance, my practice, my lifestyle. What is the standard for acceptance in which there cannot be no shirk? There could be something missing and might be a little bit weak. It's accepted, but if there's shirk, what shirk will that be? Where there is no obedience to Rasulullah, if there's no sunnah in the actions, then the shirk is in the action. Understand this point. Clear. Tabtalu Allah Ta'ala says, it's a total waste. You can bring the whole mountains of deeds, but if in your deeds there's no adherence to the sunnah, waste of deeds. Who's saying this? Allah. Where's Allah saying this? Quran. So first, before death, I have to think, I have to put my deeds on the scale on the day of judgment. And the sunnah, if it's not in the deeds, it's a waste of time. The sunnah of Rasulullah is obedience. My salah has to be with the sunnah. Hajj according to the sunnah. Umrah according to the sunnah. Zakat according to the sunnah. Fasting according to the sunnah. Everything has to include the details of the sunnah within it. Every action. And I say that I am Rasulullah's follower. But look at the practice. We have to see the practice. The pious predecessors have said that look, if Allah Ta'ala's orders, if we go against Allah's orders and we follow our nafs, then what will happen? We'll become like the mushrik. And if we oppose Rasulullah's obedience and we practice, then we will become fasiq. Mushrik and fasiq. This is the fatwa of the ulama, haqq of the true scholars. So if a person practices deeds without sunnah, he is a fasiq. So we can never practice anything without the light of guidance of the sunnah. Actually, nothing will be accepted if it's not in the way of the sunnah. The whole bundle of Islam, Allah Ta'ala said, it can only revolve around two things, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Apart from this is nafs. The person who speaks rubbish, oh, it's hard for me, total rubbish, money, paisa, dunya, running after dunya, everyone's put the windows and the veils up. Allah's Nabi, what did he say how to do this action? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did Rasulullah Sahaba practice this deed? How did they strive and make effort for salah? How did they implement the sunnah in their every deed in their life on this action? A, B, C, D, E. And if I do anything away from this, take the whole dunya. Sahih Bukhari hadith, I'll tell you. Sahih Bukhari hadith. Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu anhu, Ibn Abdullah, Hazrat Jabir Ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu narrates hadith. The meaning of this hadith is, he stated that once Rasulullah was sleeping and he was relaxing and the angels came. The angels came. And half came one side, half came the other side. And some angels, they said that, do you know that Rasulullah is sleeping? And the angel said, sleeping? And the other angel said, no, no. He doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't sleep. Subhanallah, look how Allah Ta'ala is praising His Habib, His beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the introduction. The who was Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was his greatness? He was a great. That whatever Allah Ta'ala made apparent, whatever Allah Ta'ala wanted to make apparent, obvious about Rasulullah SAW was made apparent. And it was shown to us. And what Allah wanted to make hidden is hidden. We even after was hidden, trying to delve, debating tafsirs and hadith, and we make our deen, debating with people. No, he was this, and Rasulullah SAW said this. And this. But Allah Ta'ala said, whatever you needed to know about Rasulullah SAW, I showed you, and it's preserved in the Quran and the hadith. And it's clear. But we run after those hidden things that we run after, try to extract things. We argue and sects and groups and debates. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If Allah wanted, He would have shown us those things as well. So it's a waste of time running after. So the angels, half of them said that Rasulullah is asleep. The other angel said, no, the Prophet is not asleep. He's awake. He is that individual. He's that human being. He's that Prophet that his eyes are closed, but his heart is awake. So what kind of sleep is that? His heart is awake. His eyes are asleep, closed, but his heart is awake. This is the introduction of Rasulullah, Sahih Bukhari. Then, they said that the example of the Prophet is like what? We'll give you an example that you have a house. You have a house. You make a house, and inside the house, you put the mats. You make a house, and inside that house, you put the mats. Yeah, like the rugs, and then a da'i, a person who gives da'wah, who propagates, and he's sent to go and call the people, come in this house and eat the feast on the food mat. And the person, the host, he says, people come, come. And those people, when they're invited, they accept the invitation. They go into the house, and then they sit on the dasturkhwan, the food mat, they will eat, they will feast, eat the feast. So, they said that that house is Jannah, paradise. And the da'i, the host, the inviter, is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's inviting people. The angels are saying this in this hadith. They're introducing that Rasulullah sallam came to give da'wah. And those people who come into the house, in other words, who follows and obeys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who comes and eats the feast is that person who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then mashallah he'll get paradise. So the person who left the obedience, the ittiba, the orders of Rasulullah, the sunnah, who left the ittiba, then he rejected the invitation. He didn't even come into the house to eat the feast. So he rejected. He was called. He didn't come. He could not enter into the house. He didn't eat. And nor will he ever get the paradise. And he will not get the face of Rasulullah. Understand the hadith, brothers? So this is clear cut, isn't it, what our deen is? That Iman and Islam we cannot receive without the obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how can a person be a wali Allah? How can a person say he's a wali when he's not following the sunnah? How can he say he's pious when he's not got the sunnah in his life? My friends, Islam and Iman is not complete if there's no ittiba to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how can a person be wali? He doesn't know how to do this. How do I earn this? How do I go here? If we don't have a standard, a criterion of how to implement the deeds. In this hadith, it's proven clear cut that Rasulullah is the da'i, and he invited the people to the feast, and those who obey him and follow him are those who enter the house to eat the feast. So to measure if I'm right or wrong is Rasulullah's his own life, and by looking physically at his lifestyle, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. But if I don't go to him, don't see him, learn about him, what he did, what he didn't do, then how can I say I'm on the right path? For example, I'm practicing a deed. If I want to see, is there sunnah in this action or not? Am I obeying Rasulullah in this action? If there's not, then I should leave that deed. If the whole dunya is doing it, there's no sunnah, say no, the whole dunya, if another earth comes and they will do it, but I'll only do it if the proof is there that Rasulullah did it. If the whole world will go into loss, negative, and that one person who's standing on his own will be the winner. That person who has iman like this and has Islam like this, he will be successful in the hereafter. But the message here is that Qiyamah is close, and today the thing that is few in society, less, there's a lot of masjids and speeches and Qurans and prints and kitabs and muhaddiseen and scholars and everything. There's a lot of this papers. We are in that generation now where it will be tested, because it's Dajjal. His generation is coming. And the first thing, the shaitan and nafs will drag our deen into the ground, and they won't let me go close to that. They'll make me practice everything. But what is the basis of acceptance of the deeds? They will take that out of our lives. And that is the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the person who dares to this, sticks to this, Allah says, I'll give you the sawab in this world. The person who does amal on one sunnah, he'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. This is the day and age we're living in. Look at this. If you say to somebody, brother, sister, do amal on this sunnah, they will sweat on their forehead before they even do it. They'll be ready to do everything. But when it's sunnah, they'll run out of the back door. No, 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 no. I can't do this. All night I'll wake up. I'll do wazifa, zikr, I'll go on chille, and the sister will do this and the brother will do this. She will stand and he will stand. The women, they're masters at chille. They'll stand all day, all night praying and big tasbih, they'll do it. But when you say, sister, brother, do this small amal of the sunnah, no, that's too difficult. What will people say? They'll laugh at me, the teeth will glow, and they'll laugh at me, joke, and I'll be embarrassed. How can I do this? Says the sister and the brother. But this is the test. This is the test, my brothers. Pass and fail criteria is one. Obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one can be a wali. No one can claim to be pious. No wali has ever passed. And the person who says, I'm a wali, I'm a friend of Allah, come to me, all these things, oh, forget this, I see Allah here in my dreams, and I float in the sky, and I see visions. They are the biggest shaitan in this day and age. Dajjal will do the same thing. He will come and do this, and the people will be sat next to those people who deviate others and listen to them. Allah says, I will make him like that, to be a relative with that person, friendship, sitting with them, because they are dangerous shaitani actions they do, and shaitan's made them his friend. And he'll take you to the furthest point away from Allah, towards destruction. And he'll take you. Allah will end their amal, their deeds, and their deeds will be mixed with nafs and shaitan and shirk. And they will never realize, because nafs and shaitan, because a person who's got friends as shaitan and nafs, then he'll show you things. And they'll have the power to do that. Allah will give them the ability. Remember one point. This is the sign of negative. That if a person is saying, I'm pious, and he's giving you instructions and pictures, and he's sleeping, and he says, I do ziyara, I go to Medina when I'm sleeping, and I'm going to the Haramain, and many things, cases like this come to me. So there's only two things to assess here. Either that person is mentally unwell, he's mad. He's either mad, and you can see that person, is he gone crazy inside him? It's this thing that's hidden, his desires that has made him physically mad, mental. Or that person is shaitan and jinn as his associates, and he's making them work for his ends. Never ever trust such kashf and karamat, which is against Rasulullah's deen. Kashf and karamat is haq. Miracles are haq. And the miracles of the awliyaullah are haq. But the sign is that wali of Allah, if he's imitating the sunnah 100%, only then, his life, no action is away from the sunnah, no action is away from the deen. If he is living life like that, and then something good is coming from him, that's karamat. But away from the sunnah, if someone claims to be a wali, and he is discarding the sunnah, rejecting the Quran, salah, everything, doesn't matter what he's got. But the following of the sunnah, he opposes it, and he's following nafs and shaitan and shirk, then shaitan and jinn are his friends. And to make friends, people follow him and say, wah, wah, subhanallah, to drag and suck and pull on the people, the women and the men, the brothers and the sisters. Then he starts showing people things, magic, and jinnat are working for him. Oh, he blew on this person and he was cured. Oh, he put his finger and the pain went. I can show you these people. I can say that who they are. So much a person runs after that person, he leaves the Quran. Now Allah Ta'ala has given us the solutions. Can there be more barakah than the solution Allah has given from the Quran? And the awliya Allah, their karamat is haq. Their walis, there are two walis of Allah. Who were they? One was a man, one was a woman. Both walis of Allah, top. Sometimes the woman would be higher, more pious, and sometimes the man would be higher and pious. They were both living at the same time. Who says that the woman cannot be the wali of Allah, subhanAllah? Who said this? Allah Ta'ala said that this situation is not there. Both are there in parallel. Such maqams, Allah Ta'ala gives heights and iman to women, and they go beyond the men. Beyond Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi and Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullahi was there at the same time. Both were from Basra. Both were walis of Allah. And both were sahibi karamat. And both had miracles in their life. And both had high, high stage close to Allah. And there used to be competition between the two. And both were living in the same place. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi, what did he do? He was on the banks of the river. And Hazrat Rabia Basri was there. And what did he do? He put his prayer mat on the water. And it was floating on the water, and he started to pray salah. And he showed the miracle, mashallah. He was a wali of Allah. And the karamat was jais. And Hazrat Rabia Basri, she left her prayer mat, threw it into the air. And she started to pray salah, and it was floating in the air. Not in the water. Both prayed the salah. And after that, Rabia Basri said, Sheikh, that mashallah, you showed a miracle. That your prayer mat's on water, and you're praying. Mashallah, it's flowing on water, floating on water. And big karamat I showed, that I went in the air and I was above you, floating above you. But now it's not my miracle, not it's not your miracle, your achievement. Let me show you now. I was floating in the air, wasn't I? But now see, there's a fly that's flying in the air. There's a fly, there's a bee, there's a wasp. So this is not some achievement. This mosquito is flying. So this creation of Allah. So what is it that you've achieved? And what have I achieved? I've not achieved nothing. I was floating in the air, and you were floating on the water. Look, the fish is they're swimming in the sea, they're floating, they're treading water. So what is this kamal? The statement here is that the beauty and the miracle in a Muslim's life is that he practices the sunnah. Not one deed should be away from the sunnah. And this is the greatest miracle that a person can see and achieve in life. Every part of life, every single, how did Rasulullah used to sleep? How did he used to lie down? How did he enter? How did he take his feet, shoes off? How did he used to pray salah? How did he pray in congregation? How did he join the congregation? What is the hukam? What is the order? The sahaba ikram, the companions. How many companions? And where was Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu shaheed? On the minbar, where he was praying in jamaat and congregation. That how can I leave salah? No, salah, I have to carry on, pray salah. So my brothers, if you want to be a wali or pious person, not that you will do tasbih thousands of times, will become wali of Allah. Ibadah is not what's looked at. What's looked at? The sunnah, the obedience to the sunnah, the imitation of the sunnah. Bring this into our lives and the biggest success is imitation of the sunnah. Such great awli Allah who passed away. Every wali of Allah has said the same thing. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. And every Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, Imam Rabbani rahmatullahi, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullahi, his son Hazrat Khwaja Masum Faruqi rahmatullahi, what did he write? He said, Zahiri and Batini, external and internal achievements. Yes, whether it's said or not said. Whatever, all the miracles, all of the levels, all of the status, everything is achieved by imitation to the Sunnah of Rasulullah. End of story. End of story. Everyone is dependent on the sunnah for success. That a person cannot say he's complete without the manzil, the destination of the sunnah. Oh, I saw a dream. I did ziyarah of this and that. And you look to the person, top to bottom, is he practicing sunnah? Just, we meet people like this every day. Claim to have piety. Hazrat, what does this mean? What's happening to me? I feel like this. I said with you, you're earning the evil and the punishments. Come to the path of deen. And the sunnah, when you follow the sunnah, all the dreams will go. All the dreams, hallucinations, and the miracles and the visions will go. So that's when we realize that falsehood is falsehood and truth is truth. So brothers, understand the meaning of life. Quran tells us the truth. May not be we're standing on the day of judgment. Allah, I didn't know. Everyone knows everything. We all knew, but nafs made us do shirk. Yes, that same standard for every breath of life. Whatever you're doing, you're making your face look good, you're adorning yourself with clothes. Oh, Maulana Saab said this, this Maulvi Saab said this. I had, what does he say? The Mufti, for example, even there's a big gathering, he has a big crowd, he's Mufti Azam. And he said, doesn't matter, you can do what you want, everything's halal. Take interest and the bonds, and take everything, it's okay, we're living in this day and age. My brothers, is this the right thing? And such, what's his name? Mufti Azam, that's his title. He's passed away, poor soul. And he said, yeah, Shia's okay, it's okay, it's fine. So what is this? Nafs. Now, why are people happy? I'll tell you why people are happy. I'm just telling you something personal. Why? Because of people gathering behind him. That everyone said in Pakistan, oh, massive crowd. Oh, he's giving us a very easy deen. Very easy deen. What good things he's telling the people and giving unity? Tell us. So how can this be easy, this deen? That are you making somebody leave salah? Is this ease? No. So a person, for example, if you leave all the actions of the deen, that's physically easy for a person. So what more ease than this then? Or leave salah, or leave this action, and leave this action, eat and drink, and everything's fine. You're a Muslim, you've got iman in the heart. Allah will not say anything. Now the world is full of such ideas and beliefs. And that we say, okay, that's it. The ease comes by leaving salah. If you want total ease, just finish the story that there is no iman. And people do this. They show this as well. I can show you this as well, as an example. So Allah's shukr, we should be grateful that Allah's given us awareness. We have the fear. We have that fear that Allah give us complete actions and let's come onto the path of amal. Look after ourselves. Nothing will make us succeed. No drama or deception will make us succeed. The milk and water will be separate on the day of judgment. They will not be mixed. For the woman, the hukum is this. This is how you have to live your life. For the man, there's the hukum. This is how you have to live the life. Nobody needs to rely on anybody else. Alhamdulillah. We have the right tariqah, which is left to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With those tariqah, that I'm standing on the path of the sunnah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did all of these actions like this. Whether I'm poor and hungry and I've got issues and problems and illness, no problem. No problem. Why am I worried about this? This is the first sabak and lesson of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was this. That once Rasulullah went to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha in a bad state and he didn't have clothes to wear. And he said that when Rasulullah, he couldn't even stand and pray. because he was weak. And Hazrat Fatima was saying this, that I'm weak, I can't pray. Is there anyone who doesn't love his daughter? And she said to her father that we don't have clothes, and the children are hungry, and the daughter, Rasulullah's daughter, and bad situation at home. And she said, my father, when I stand, I feel like dizziness, and salah is difficult. What do I do? And so much poverty that we don't know how many days they did not eat food. Rasulullah ﷺ had tears in his eyes and said, Fatima, is this the situation? He said, then pick up your prayer mat. Pick up your prayer mat and look, underneath was the valley, subhanAllah, of gold. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, Fatima, do you want this? Or do you want to be the woman of Jannah, the head of the women of Jannah? And Rasulullah ﷺ said, what do you want to be? And she put her prayer mat down and said, I want to be the woman of Jannah. So this is the life. She made the choice. There is dunya. You can run after dunya. I said, very easily you can get dunya. You'll get it, a lot of dunya. But what is salah? Salah, by leaving salah, jama'ah, congregation, go run after the dunya, become totally free. Why do you say left and right, half this, half that, and half of this and half that, and contaminate deen? Be totally free. Or if you don't want to be totally free, then if you want to be the person of iman, then don't be 50-50, half this, half that, half night, half day. Your nafs is making you do shirk. You're going to get punished anyway, and then he's making you do shirk on top of that, the nafs. Whether it's a wali or a peer, a person who calls himself a wali, a friend of Allah, a peer or a sheikh, a mufti or an alim or a scholar or a muhaddith, we don't need these titles. Our guide is one who was the greatest and the best guide in the world today is he whose life is in a reflection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can show you such a muqarrab, such a speaker, that if you listen to his speech, you will start crying and shrieking. Such events, Hazrat Hussein and the Sahaba, such stories, you'll start crying. The women are crying, men are crying. Oh, he's pious, he's great. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the taqreer, the speech can be like magic. It can be like magic. That if, for example, I start speaking about Hazrat Hussein and the women will start crying, Hazrat Sahab gave a great bayan today, my heart was split and I was crying. And if today we say my heart is split, and then I will say, you understand what I'm saying. Is anyone's heart split today on the points I made today? That Allah, Hazrat Sahab has told us the explanation of the sunnah and my eyes have opened up. That's why I'll say that when we've got iman. But we don't say that after we hear about the sunnah. Same topic, I've heard this before, it's the same words repeated. This is what we say afterwards. So we have this a lot nowadays. Christmas time's coming. Alhamdulillah, every masjid there'll be adverts, programs, lectures, speeches, events, and people will be running around, food and gatherings and crowds, won't it? Say it loudly, of course. You will be there as well. Ah, oh, I enjoyed it. There was a lot of people. Yeah, mashallah, today there was a lot of crowd. We heard a lot of good things. But you won't hear this point, this verse that I've read, you will not hear this verse in the... Show me. Go to every gathering coming this coming month and tell me, has anyone recited this verse? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Atiullah wa atiur rasul. La tubtul amalakum. Allah Ta'ala is saying, what a beautiful verse. Don't destroy your deeds. Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't destroy your struggle. Don't waste your time, foolish people. Why are you doing shirk? You're doing shirk of the nafs. You're reading the salah to obey your nafs. You're following your life to obey the nafs. You're doing shirk. It's like the mushrik. Wake up, open the eyes and come to my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you can depart the world with the right iman. What a great statement. What a great statement. Run after Rasulullah sallam. He is the guide. I sent him. What a hadith. So clearly it says in the hadith that he's maqam, he's the da'i, he invites the people to the feast. Come into the house, come into the house of the sunnah. Every night, every day, he worries about you. That I sent such a guide, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can imagine what I gave to him, what I sent him with. That even Adam alayhi salam couldn't understand. That this name, he said, Allah, I saw his name written on the heavens along with your name. So please, for the sake of Muhammad, forgive me and forgive me for my error. And this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name that he saw. And we're leaving his practice. We are rejecting his imitation. And we say we are rightfully guaranteed Jannah. No way. Anyone who goes against the Sunnah is not going into Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq. And you all brothers and those who are listening. And this is the test. And this is the deen. And this is Islam. And everything is this. That today, how much in my life and how many things have I left for the Sunnah? How much have I disregarded the sunnah? How much Allah's Nabi has said this is unlawful? Why do I go towards unlawful? Otherwise, I've told you the fatwa. If the whole dunya is running after one person, he's passed away. He's spreading the deen, he's explaining the deen, he's giving the right speech, and he's saying in his speeches that our qabreen, the pious predecessors, they did dhulam, they were strict and they presented the strict deen, and it's not necessary to do this, and it's easy nowadays, and deen is so easy nowadays. It's that the ulama have made the deen strong. Is this what you have to do like this? Is this the deen? Allah is Ghafur Rahim. Allah Ta'ala said, my deen is not hard, and he presents this verse of the Quran, that there's no compulsion in deen. Let me tell you what is Islam. You can leave this, you don't have to do this. Enjoy yourself, enjoy this, enjoy that. Everything's fine, you're fine, you've got iman in your heart. Do you want deen like this, my brothers? Is this the deen you want? No. So big deception. And the dunya crowds and hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, Mufti Azam, the title. Mufti Taqi Saab, he's criticizing. He's speaking badly about him. Imagine the people on the haq, he's saying they're all a waste. So we need to not enter into these debates and arguments. If we have the understanding and the awareness that we don't need to run after anybody and their claims. Just look once at that person, that this person who's claiming to have all this knowledge, how much Sharia and Sunnah is in this person's life? How much love for the Sunnah has this person got in his life? That's it. Then you'll know how to judge that person. The rest, he can speak and make you cry, and speeches and hadith and verses of the Quran, and I loved it and it was eloquent, and subhanallah, we enjoyed ourselves. There's lots of people there, and the food was good afterwards. Yeah. Oh, dal and dal ghost was good after the speech, and the khichdi, and the rice was nice after the bayan. Subhanallah. You know, these people, they talk like this after the events, and they take their bowls and their plates. Subhanallah. And they take extra so they can bring home to eat. Why? Why are you taking this? Oh, this is tabarruk, this is blessings. I'll get sawab and my children will eat at home, and then they'll follow the deen. What deen? Allahu Akbar. So I know people are going to criticize me after they heard this, but what can I do? My own are not happy, and the strangers are not happy. So nobody could I say anything. This is a statement from before. This is what's happening, that our own are not happy, and the strangers are not happy. Subhanallah. But I couldn't say the right thing. Do you understand this verse? That I am such a person that the poison was called poison, and the sweet is called sweet. And by doing this, the people who are close to me are unhappy with me, and the strangers are unhappy with me, because I spoke straightforward and to the point. So the strangers are unhappy with me, and my own are unhappy with me, because I could never call the poison sweet. This is Allama Iqbal sahab. Haqba. Speak the right. Take the criticism, take the feedback, but speak the haq always. Never change the poison to the sweet, and the sweet to the bitter. Maybe somebody will understand, and these words will descend into the heart, and I'll get the success. And when I say this is the right path, we try to make the life good. So from today, let's try, because we are insan. We human being will do mujahidah, will struggle, will strive, will make effort. What comes into our life, we'll try. And this list of good, we'll try to do good. And the list of bad, we'll leave the bad. So we need to take the gauge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a simple life we will get from the deen of the sunnah, we'll be amazed and shocked. The imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do this in all your deeds, the deen, wallahi, will become easy for you and for me. And for me, all simple deen that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us, and we made it hard. Look, with iman, when we commit a sin, let me tell you one thing. Along with iman, when we leave the sunnah and we try to practice Islam, I swear by Allah, that Muslim will never have sukoon in his heart. Never. He will always feel guilty if he prays without sunnah, if he's got the salah without the appearance, without the attire, without the form of the sunnah, and then he will always be confused and at loss in society. The person who tries to earn incorrectly, he never considers himself as respectful inside. He thinks he's a thief. Oh, I don't want him to say this. I don't want him to say this. Oh, I tell you the honest truth here. The honest truth. Never will the thief feel at peace. Rather, he'll have a guilty conscience. This is a punishment, big punishment, because he left the sunnah of Rasulullah. It's a massive punishment. That in his conscience, he is afraid and scared. Oh, I think I've done wrong. I shouldn't have done this. And he's carrying on, because nafs is making him carry on. But he's not satisfied. What kind of life is this? Yeah? A tale of two halves. But where a person imitates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then suddenly you'll become happy. All the worries will end. All the fikr will go away. Totally, he'll walk around and live like a king. Because he knows, alhamdulillah, nobody can say anything to me, that I'm not linked to anyone in a bad way. So he's independent, and the fikr goes. He's not worried about poverty. Or when's he happy? When the poverty comes, he goes, at least I'm not eating haram. At least I'm not consuming haram. And he's happy with this. But the person who consumes haram, he's trying to save himself. Even after eating haram, his stomach is full of the food. But then inside his heart, he's not happy, he's not at peace. He's saying, I did something wrong, because that's iman. And if he has a speech from someone about this, like for example, if I say something to you, then all night long he can't go to sleep. Why? Because nafs made him do wrong. I've done something wrong. Then he stands up. And then when he hears something good, he's got iman, then he's fighting with himself, competing. And then when he tussles, then in the morning he carries on doing the same thing. So no, it's okay, we'll see what happens afterwards. Then he carries on running after other unlawful things. I'm telling you the true sketch of what happens. And the person who makes a decision, then his life comes in conformity with the sunnah of Rasulullah. And then you see that person, the alim, speak, who's following the sunnah. Look at the muhaddith, ever listen to his speech, alhamdulillah. Noor drops from the speech. And from which speech does he speak? From the Nurani, the tongue of Noor and blessings and light. Such ulama ikram, you will see them. Sit with them, take their company. What Noor and light comes from their words. Half an hour they will speak and the iman will change and improve. And this is the alim. And because in their life they've done imitation and adherence to the sunnah. They've not done shirk. They're not mushriks. So brothers, come, let's promise. Do we all promise? Inshallah. How will we live our life? In accordance to what? We will make this our measurement gauge. Yes, we can make mistakes. From morning till evening, my ruler, my gauge will be what? How did Rasulullah do this? How did he say this? What did he do? Did he say do this or did he say leave this? That's it. So let's do this amal. Inshallah. Very easy and beautiful life. It will become very easy and beautiful. And so easily with peace we will go to sleep. We'll have fikr of nothing. The angels will give salam. MashaAllah. He's a good man. He's lying down. He's hungry. He's got no clothes. He's thirsty. No worry. No fikr of the world.